Again, thankful for the opportunity to meet together, even though we're not meeting together. I'm thankful that God's made provision for us. He has been good to us. We're going to start in Galatians, the fifth chapter this morning, taking our text in Galatians, the fifth chapter. You know, we live in an ever-changing world. Now, that was true before this pandemic, but with this crisis we're in, this pandemic, it's bringing changes to our lives, and it's going to continue to bring change. Many of these changes may be permanent. Now, we've already seen a lot of change over the last several years, right? There's new inventions, new ways of doing things. And there's been some real progress, but not all change has been good. And this is especially true morally in our nation. The changes we've seen morally have not been for the better. As Christians, we live in this changing world. As things change around us, we have to adapt. We can't function in a changing world without adapting. We got to choose how we adapt and how we change, though. Because in the midst of change, there's always spiritual danger. There's always, any time there's upheaval, any time there's change, there's always spiritual danger. Satan is constantly working to move society and individuals farther away from God. God also is working in upheaval to work to draw us close to Him. And our challenge is not to let the changes we're currently experiencing or will experience become a detriment to our walk with God. With that in mind, I chose Galatians, the fifth chapter, verse 13 this morning. For brethren, you've been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. In this letter to the Galatian church, Paul primarily was addressing the change that came from approaching God through ceremonies and types in the Old Covenant to the freedom of approaching God in Christ. Now, this was a radical change in the way true believers worship God. Our text is from the latter portion of this letter. And there's a warning in our text concerning this freedom in Christ. And the warning was, don't use your liberty or your freedom to indulge your flesh. Another translation says, you're called to freedom, brothers, only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh. What is our liberty in Christ? That's a good place to start. What is our liberty in Christ? Well, I'll start with what it's not. It is never, listen to me, it's never a freedom to self-indulge or to pursue selfish and sinful desires. That idea of Christian liberty would run counter to the whole revelation of God. Salvation brings a change from living to please ourselves to living to please God. Christian liberty is not more freedom for ourselves, not more selfish interests. It's a freedom from the bondage of sin. It's a freedom from self, a victory over self, a victory over sin. It was also a freedom from the rituals and ceremonies of the first covenant. And in the context of our reading from Galatians, liberty was a freedom from a form of worship. In the Old Testament, God specified very exactly how we were to worship in the Old Testament than what they were to do. And the reason for that was because it taught us about the salvation we were to expect in Christ. Any deviation from that would then give us a false idea about what our salvation through Christ would involve. Our relationship to God is no longer bound up in ceremonies and forms. We've been granted free access to the Holy of Holies. Christian liberty, however, as I said, is never freedom from moral law. The part of the law that was fulfilled was the ceremonial law. Moral law continues to be the guide for our life, the guide of how we ought to live. Christian liberty, therefore, is never freedom to indulge in sin. As I pointed out earlier, things change, times change, customs change. We have to adapt to function in that changing society. We must function in the society around us. We're not called to withdraw. We're not called to go to a convent or something. We're called to be the salt of the world. Matthew 5:13 says, you're the salt of the earth. But if salt's lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It sends forth good for nothing, but to be cast out, trodden underfoot of men. You're the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hid, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light to all that are in the house. If we're to be the salt, to be the light of this world, then we have to stay relevant to the society in which we live. That means we've got to adapt. But, listen now, we must do so without going backward in our commitment to God and our commitment to a holy life. Amen? We must adapt, but it's vitally important that we do so without going backward spiritually. First of all, we must adapt without using it as an opportunity to the flesh. This Christian life's a disciplined life. Our greatest enemy is us. That means my greatest hindrance in making it home to heaven is me. Your greatest enemy in making it home to heaven is you. We battle our own desires. James 1:13 says, "Let no man say, when I'm tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death." We have to battle our own predisposition to see this life only. We are very much bent to evaluating things based on this life only. And one lesson we must take from our current crisis is that this life is fragile. Amen? This life is fragile. Everything we may assume to be solid, to be secure, everything. From the foundations of our government and law, from our economy, our security, our health, everything in this life truly is fragile. Nothing in this life is stable. I hope that's a takeaway you got from this current crisis. Nothing is stable in this life. The most important part of this life is making heaven our home. There's nothing in this life that you could gain that's worth risking your soul. Matthew 16:24. Then Jesus told his disciples, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever would save his life will lose it, but whosoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what shall a man give in return for his soul?" Hey, there ain't nothing worth missing heaven. There ain't nothing worth risking missing heaven. So hold on to everything loosely. Make all your decisions with eternity in view. Amen? Christian liberty is not a permission to live life following our selfish desires. We're to live a disciplined life, not an unrestrained life. We're to live a life of self-denial. We just read in Matthew 16 chapter. Jesus said, "If anyone will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Whosoever will save his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life for my sake will find it." You know what that means? This is a life of saying no to ourselves in many instances when what we want crosses ways with what God wants. What God said is right. We're to live a self-controlled, disciplined life. 1 Corinthians 9:24. "Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one receives the prize? So run you that you may obtain it. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. So I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air, but I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified." Paul, the Apostle Paul, with all the revelation he was given, still was concerned that he needed to live a life of self-control and discipline. Self-control and discipline are necessary to the Christian life. Christian liberty is never a license to indulge ourselves. We must diligently maintain our disciplined life in times of change. We must not allow our liberty to become an opportunity for the flesh. Change is coming. Change is here, in fact. Well, how do we deal with it? Again, we must not allow it to become an opportunity for the flesh. Many of our lives have been more relaxed in some areas lately. If you've been working from home, not going out much, we have a tendency to let down on our self-discipline because our life is a little less structured maybe than it was before. But we need to remember, this Christian life is still a disciplined life. Stay disciplined in your commitment to living a life free from sin. Stay disciplined in your personal devotions. That means time of prayer with God, time of reading in God's Word. Stay disciplined in your time with God. Reserve Sunday and the service times for God, Wednesday and Sundays, even if you can't be here. Reserve that time for God. Don't take it to yourself. Don't use it as an opportunity for the flesh. Keep God first. God's always demanded first place because it's the only right place for Him. What's more important than God? What's more important than the things of God? What should have priority over God and the things of God? Well, you already know the answer to that, but we make excuses, and in real life choices, oftentimes, we don't reflect that same priority. Brother Chad's going to talk about loving God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, which, by the way, is it's not a luxury add-on for Christians. That is a requirement to be a follower of God. It's the first commandment. We can't really say we love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength when we make choices that prioritize other things over God and the things of God. Amen? Make your relationship with God the most important thing in your life. Keep your life clean so you can freely come into His presence at a moment's notice. Any time that you're familiar with Him, your life is clean, you feel freedom in your heart, that when a crisis happens or something suddenly comes, you can come freely into His presence. Make your relationship with God the most important thing in your life. This life is fragile. It's uncertain. This life is temporary. This life still suffers the effects of sin and the curse of sin. We shouldn't expect it to be heaven. So we need God's help in every part of this life. Don't forfeit your instant access to God by neglect or by selfish choices. Amen? Keeping God first also means keeping the things of God first. God has an interest in this world. Do you know that? This is God's world. He created it. He created it for a purpose. He has a purpose. He has a plan. Amen? And if we truly love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, if we truly put Him first, we would share that interest God has and that purpose God has, right? We'd have an interest in what God's interested in. We'd have a desire to see God's purposes. We often show if God really is first by the priority we place on the things of God. Amen? Because if He's really important, then what He's interested in is really important. That being said, I'm going to admonish you, keep the priority of church attendance and instruction. Our gathering has been changed for several weeks now. But beginning the end of this month, the 31st, Lord willing, we're going to start meeting again. Some of you won't be able to because of the risk, but some of you will. Keep the priority of church attendance, even if it's just online. Keep the priority of church attendance. Don't develop the habit of using this time for yourself. That's what I mean about change not being used as an opportunity to the flesh. We need instruction. God's ordained it that way. We need encouragement. God's made provision for our health in the body by giving a diversity of gifts within the body. The preacher don't have all of them. Nobody else has all of them. All of us are incomplete without one another. We're incomplete in and of ourselves. And if the privilege is available to meet together and to work together, God expects us to take advantage of it. Many people in oppressive countries, both today and in the past, have risked death to have this privilege. I'm going to caution you, don't throw it away, just have liberty for yourself. God takes notes. We need one another. We have an obligation to one another. Romans 12:4. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given us, whether prophesy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Or ministry, let us wait on our ministry. Or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. 1 Corinthians 12:12. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of that body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one spirit we're all baptized into one body, Jews, Greeks, slaves, free. We're all made to drink that one spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I don't belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I don't belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there's many parts, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor. Non-presentable parts are treated with great modesty. Which are more presentable parts do not require. But God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, that there be no division in the body, that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. I want to remind us again of our obligation to one another and to the body of Christ. We are to give priority to the things of God, to the service of God, not only for our good, but for the rest of the body. We're to come to give, not just give. It's important that you be here and be in the body so you can receive the help that is provided by the other parts of the body. But it's also important that you come to be able to give that which is your part to give to strengthen the body. Now, having said that, I'll close by telling you this. This current pandemic should serve as a wake-up call. God is not pleased with our sinful society. This is God's world. God's going to accomplish His purposes. God allowed this pandemic. Amen? As I preached before, He could have stopped it. He chose not to. And I believe, sincerely believe, He intends it to be a wake-up call to our needs. I also sincerely believe if we're not awakened in time, we're going to face another wave of judgment. And I believe until we're awakened or until God determines it's hopeless, we will experience successive waves of judgment. And if we're not awakened, eventually a judgment unto destruction. Here's the good part. We can respond right. Amen. Because God's preference is mercy, not judgment. Let's be awakened. Let's do our part to help people see God as He really is and come to know Him in a real way. Amen? Part of our obligation is evangelistic. Evangelistic means helping people who don't know God come to know God. We're not out to try to win the argument. Our purpose is to win hearts and minds. Your future, your kids' future depends on it. Our society, our freedoms depend on it. I mean, there may be a time to fight for our freedoms and our rights, and I believe there is at times. But I'm going to tell you, in the end, people who reject God will lose their freedoms and their rights. Look at history. Amen. Don't allow this crisis to pass. We're going to be shifting gears as a society. We are shifting gears now. It's opening back up. We're going to be trying to find a path back to normal, or at least some semblance of normality. We're going to be back in the economy. We're going to be back doing things. But I want to warn us, don't allow this crisis to pass without resolving to be drawn closer to God and become more useful in His work on earth. Amen? Don't allow this to pass without having our priorities shaken a little bit, without having our worldview include eternity, so that we might be able to know what's really important and not important, and use our time effectively. And most of all, I pray, God, we not use this time of change as an occasion of liberty to the flesh. I pray that it not be something that we develop habits that draw us away from God, that we give ourselves more liberty and selfish desires instead of preference for God, that we not take time once devoted to God and use it for our own ends and our own desires. What we're experiencing is going to move us one of two ways. We either will be moved closer to God or farther away. Collectively and individually, those choices we make will determine God's next move. Amen? When people repent and move toward God, God blesses them. When people move away from God, they come under the curse of God for their sin. And I want to encourage you this morning, don't use this occasion for liberty to the flesh. Amen? Amen. May God bless you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we count it a privilege to be able to look into your word. We thank you, Lord, for the instruction and help you give us. I pray you'll awaken us, Lord, in a greater way. Awaken us individually then, Lord. Help us collectively to be able to be instruments you can use. Help those who are drifting. Help those who have drifted away from you in this time to be shaken and awakened and drawn back. Help us, we pray. I ask it in Jesus' name, and amen.